Nitapala. Then to welcome the colleagues from the, I see the chairperson of SANZA in the province is around. Councillor Lashaini, you're welcome. Yes. Then also the PGO of SANZA is also here.
Thank you very much.
PGO, you're welcome as well.
Thank you, sir.
I see DD Jim judges also in our midst. You are welcome. DD Jim.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning.
Sure. Then, yeah, these are our guests. And definitely, I think the Ms. Matibela is also in our meeting, in our midst. I think that you are here. From Jacob, yeah, and the others. So you are all welcome to this meeting. You will all know that this is a follow-up meeting, so we are not supposed to be taking much time, as we have mostly dealt with the issues in the past. But as you are aware, we have to reconvene. I don't think it's anyone who doesn't understand the background where we come from. But I think I won't go much further, except to say we interacted with the municipality on the 17th of March, post of our oversight visit, when we were meeting with all the municipalities in the district. I must say that was the longest meeting colleagues will recall. That's the meeting where we knocked off after 1:30. Then the issue that was critical then was the issue around the consequence management action taken in the wake of the investment in the VBS mutual bank. And then every time, if colleagues recall, in that meeting, the municipality indicated to us that they've referred the matter to the municipal misconduct board. And then it was also reported to us that the CS were resigned while the case was open against the municipal manager, who also subsequently resigned after 18 months of litigation. The mayor was emphatic that there was no settlement agreement with the municipal manager and that she resigned on her own accord when it became evident that she would lose the case. And then it was also reported to us that Councillor approved the resignation. We then requested the municipality to submit a written report on this matter by 18 March 2021. This was not submitted. But then, certainly, we had this after our session on the 17th of March. As the committee, we received a correspondence from the former municipal manager indicating that the mayor did not respond strictly to the committee's questions around the settlement agreement between herself and the municipality, as she was actually compelled into signing it. And then she further said to us that her resignation was a condition of the settlement agreement. You will recall, colleagues, we took these allegations very seriously to the extent that we even sought a legal opinion on the recourse available to the committee, should it be true that the mayor had misled the committee. And then I just want, again, for the purposes of the records, to you will need the extract from the powers, privileges and immunities of Parliament and provincial legislature, as in particular section 17.2d, which provides that a person who with intent to deceive a House or a Committee of Parliament produces to the House or Committee any false, unfortunate, falsified or fabricated document, commits an
offence. Recording in progress.
Commits an offence and is liable to a fine of or imprisonment of a period not exceeding 2 years or both to fine and imprisonment. Then, as I said, the legal opinion that was provided to us, it affirms the fact that deliberately providing the National Assembly or a committee of the National Assembly with false or misleading information or making a statement that is false or misleading is an offense in terms of Section 2D of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act. Then it further, the legal opinion that we got further provided to us that if prima facie evidence exists to this effect, a criminal charge can be laid at the South African Police Service. We were then advised to afford the mayor an opportunity to respond to the former MM's allegation before making a determination on whether Parliament has been misled and on whether such an act was deliberate on the part of the municipality. Colleagues, you recall that we consequently reconvened the meeting with the municipality on the 20th of April 2021 to afford the mayor this opportunity. In the meeting, the mayor indicated that the municipality has misunderstood the settlement agreement question and was under the impression that the committee was referring to a monetary settlement page, the MM. This is what the municipality meant when it said there was no settlement agreement. And in that meeting, it is in that meeting when the mayor tendered an apology for the misunderstanding. We, as the committee, accepted the mayor's apology. But then, on discussing and proving the matter further, the municipality reverted to providing contradictory information. We then resolved to give the municipality another chance to clarify the matter by sending the committee a comprehensive report by the 8th of April 2021. We will then compare the information provided against previously submitted information and then determine the appropriate course of action should there be discrepancies. Today, we would like the municipality to take us through the report so that we can arrive at the final determination and lay the matter to rest. I don't know whether MEC wants to be the one that starts next on this matter or will come after the
Thanks, Chairperson, and greetings to all members of the portfolio committee.
We can't see you, MEC. Where are you? Yeah.
Okay. I thought you always help me whenever you come to the province. I'm always available. So members of the portfolio committee are used to myself, so my apologies, Chair, as I greet you together with all the members of the portfolio committee. I also want to greet the Chairperson of SAGA in the province together with the CDO, the HOD of COXA, the leadership of the municipality and the leadership of the mayor. As you rightfully indicated, Chair, I will prefer that the municipality come in because there were two issues that we were supposed to, after we had a discussion before, that they would have to submit certain documents. When I checked with the municipality, there was an issue that they could have said, whether it could be communication between the portfolio committee and them, and also so that we can be able to help deal with the part that you were dealing with of not necessarily providing the right information at the right time. So I would prefer that the municipality starts will come back as a department and see how we're supporting them and what is it that we intended to do to assist them in the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable MEC. DG of Traditional Office, welcome to the meeting. I hope at the end of the meeting you'll be able to appraise the committee with the development around the burial of Nkosi Mahlangu. Welcome. Can I hand over to the Executive Mayor, Councillor Mohlokwane, to proceed? Yes.
Before the Mayor, just wanted to get a clarity. Is anyone from the Provincial Treasurer here in this meeting? Because in the whole confusion about this matter, there is Treasurer that is involved as well in that letter.
Mm-hmm. Secretary, can you respond to the question addressed by Honorable Lucan? It's 341767 from the Provincial Treasurer. Another budget is one.
Sorry, Chairperson. I think that is the person from Treasury. I'll just follow up quickly and then I'll let you know. The person with the 3417.
But an invitation was extended to
they were copied into the invitation.
Okay, fine. Executive Mayor, can I hand over to you, please? Good morning to you and the entire team. Over to you, Executive Mayor. I saw the Executive Mayor not so long ago.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. You are not the Executive Mayor of different
Okay.
I'll address you as the Chairperson of Biota. Executive Mayor,
Chair. Let's just correct something before there is some confusion. The reason why Executive Mayor Shaheen came in, it is because in Limpopo, only the district mayors are representatives.
You are saying you are the mayor,
eh? I'm a mayor, Chairperson.
Let me apologize. In my guest list, you are listed as an executive mayor. My apologies.
Thanks, Chairperson. And greetings to... Greetings to... You know, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee, MEC of Foster in Limpopo, Honorable Magamu, the support staff of both COPTA and COPTA Limpopo, support staff from SALGA, and greetings again to the Chairperson of SALGA in Limpopo, Councillor Shai, and the Minister in absentia. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for affording us an opportunity as the municipality to present once more to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee and other stakeholders. And also let me greet our former MM Mayor, Monica Matele. We received a correspondence from the Portfolio Committee of COFSA that we will sit for this engagement as a follow-up, and also that there is an element of non-compliance with regard to submission of information as requested on the meeting of the 20th April 2021. Then let me just deal with this one before I go to the detailed report. The issue of non-compliance, Chairperson. Our record states that on the 20th April 2021, we did submit a report to the members of the Portfolio Committee that was addressed to yourself, Chairperson. We even have received an acknowledgement of receipt of information from the Secretary of Portfolio Committee. It is here in black and white. Unless otherwise, if there is any other information that you requested and the municipality did not furnish, that could also be addressed after this session. I just wanted to make a clarity on that one, Chairperson. That it was not our intention to not to comply with the resolutions and the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee. Then on the feedback progress made with regard to the issue of the former MM Memative, an application was filed by the municipality for the review of the decision. An application which was filed by the municipality for the review of a decision of the chairperson of the disciplinary hearing involving the municipality, and the former municipal manager was set down for hearing on the 18th May 2021. The case number J188/2019, we are being advised by our legal team on record that is in Benin Incorporated, that on the 18th May 2021, the court did not ventilate on the merits of the application. Instead, what the court did was to issue out a directive for the consolidation of the other three applicants or matters filed by both parties. Chairperson, the committee shall appreciate the fact that there are currently three separate applications filed by both parties at the Labour Court, and the following applications are still lying at the Labour Court. One, an application filed by the municipality to review the decision of the chairperson of the disciplinary hearing. Two, an application filed by the municipality to set aside a settlement agreement entered into by and between the municipality and the former MM. Three, an application filed by the former municipal minister to have the settlement agreement made an order of court. And on the 13th May 2021, the court then issued such a directive that parties must file affidavits for the consolidation of all these three separate applications or matters into one. The effect of this consolidation is that instead of the court hearing three separate applications on the three separate occasions and dates, the court will now hear one consolidated application once and disposes all the others at the same time. Parties are in the process of finalizing the consolidation, and once it is done, the court will set down the matter for arguments on merits. Then on the issue of the recovery process, on the 30th June 2021, the public protector issued out a report on the investigation into allegations of improper conduct and maladministration by the municipality relating to the investment made in the BPS Mutual Bank. One of the remedial actions issued by the public protector, which I believe that is also in line with the report that we received from the provincial treasurer, is that the acting municipal manager take appropriate steps to recover the irregular expenditure in respect of the investment from the person liable for it as contemplated by Section 32, Subsection 2 of Municipal Finance Management Act, and pursue the municipality civil claim for recovery of the amount of 80 million invested with UTS. The municipality has already issued a summons against the former municipal manager and the CFO at the High Court sitting in Polokwane. Case number is given as 7897/2020. The matter is defended. Pleadings have already been extended and closed. As we speak, Chairperson, the matter is still before the court of law. That is our long and short progress report that was submitted to the portfolio committee during or prior to this engagement. I thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson?
Thank you, Mayor Mutlukwani. Colleagues, that's where we are. Does Kaga want to comment on this matter or the MEC before I allow members to interact with the status, the report?
I just want to make a comment on a painful issue that affects the investment of money into the BBS. The challenges that has created to our municipalities, that they had to go through the disciplinary process of senior management. One, that aspect on its own dealt with most senior managers within the municipalities in the province, which affected us in terms of the filling of vacancy of the senior management where we're making serious improvements. But that has not necessarily created that challenge of high vacancy rate. But also it drained municipalities of the institutional memory, where most senior managers, CFOs, had to leave, and affected a lot of processes in terms of our audit, which we are trying to recover out of that challenge. The third matter, Chair, was to reconcile between having suspended the officials receiving their salaries when they are home, but also paying people acting allowances, which were taking long to an extent that even the money that was supposed to go for service delivery was to be affected. In the majority of cases, municipalities had an issue to say, what is this that would be the best? Of course, you know that the powers rest with the council to decide, mainly on the disciplinary process of senior managers, especially the municipal managers. But it gave the municipalities most of the challenges that they continue to be seeking advice from us as council. What is it that we should be able to do? An area we do not necessarily have to jurisdiction on. But if you could feel the frustration of our municipal councils, having people to be paid at home, coupled with the COVID challenges where the courts, others were trying to review the matters through the labor court, they were able not to be attended to, and it took long until councils started to be worried that we are also wasting a lot of money in paying lawyers, in making sure we pay persons who are at home. So I think Ephraim Mukale is one of the municipalities. We're also in that space that they wanted to control the appoint. Because you could have somebody acting there, you would not necessarily able to appoint a full-time who would be able to take responsibility as an accounting officer in the municipality. So I'm aware of this, or as a department, we are aware of these challenges and the impact of the investment in the BBS affected our municipalities in the majority of them. We know we are one of the provinces that most municipalities, almost 14 of them, did invest money in the DDA. So it's a challenge that we are aware of as a department and we're trying to recover. And I think we are on the right track with the help of Treasury and SALGA in the province to make sure that those municipalities which invested, we are continuing to support them, including Ephraim Mukane, making sure that their financial recovery plan get to be implemented in order to restore the financial situation of the country. So that is the comment I can give now, except that if the information provided for, unlike what you said, Chair, will be able to assist us to support the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you so much, MSC. The issue that I was referring to the non-submission of the information was with regard to the information that was submitted on the 18th of March. We then demanded a full report that it had to be submitted to us by the 30th of April. And I want to confirm Mayor, you did submit the report and add that evidence to the effect that a settlement was reached, but no payment was made to the MM. So the issue here, as you know, was for us today to determine whether this information that you submitted to us on the 30th is the final and accurate one, or whether you still sense that there was no settlement agreement reached. So that's the issue here. That's what prompted us to request for further information, because the day we met with you, the way you were explaining this matter, the last day we met with you, it was in a press, on the 20th of April. So that's the issue, that the issue that caused us for you to then submit me the information. As and when we were probing the matter with yourself, there was a situation where you yourself reverted to providing some contradictory information. That's when we then resolved to give you an objection to clarify the matter by finishing us with that information that you indeed submitted on the 30th of April. So what we are doing today is that comparison of the previously submitted information, including the information submitted on the 30th of April, in order to determine any course of action should there be discrepancies. That's why we said to the mayor, take us through the report so that we can then arrive at the final determination, because it's our intention to lay the matter to rest. Colleagues, we have heard what the mayor has just said. Can I see any one of you who want to interact with the presentation by the mayor? By show of hands.
Yes, Chair, I'm here.
Yes, I'm noting you. Can you see?
Yes.
Still see the only one. I was still browsing to check if there are other colleagues. I can hand over to you now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation from the mayor. And I concur with the Chairperson's remarks to say that, in fact, if someone is doing his or her job, we could not have been here just to make a follow-up on this matter. And I was listening to the MEC as well. I also agree with the MEC that the issue of BPS, I'm sure it has taken a toll to many of the municipalities, especially in Limpopo. And I just want to say to the MEC that it looks like there's no coordinated in terms of providing leadership in terms of VPS in the province. Because earlier on, I asked the chairperson if there is someone from the provincial treasurer. When I read the report that was sent by the municipality to the portfolio committee, what I have discovered, Chair, is that the reason why there is this confusion of a settlement agreement between the former MM and the municipality, as a result this matter is in court, is because at a later stage, after the municipality dealt with the matter, agreed with the former MM to say that let us be part ways, let us have this settlement. If you agree with this proposal in the form of a settlement, you must resign immediately, with immediate effect. And she complied. When she complied, boom, a letter from the provincial treasurer saying that no, that will be a wrong move. And it complicated the whole process that includes the HR processes. As a result, you as a municipality, you do want to recoup the money that was invested wrongly to the VPS. As a result, it also has some serious effects on the service delivery. At the same time, also, it looked like there was no leadership provided from the onset. As much as I do understand that it also talks to the political leadership of the ruling party in the province, that's why you are in this situation. But Chairperson, even on the report, it says that at a municipality level, since 2018, and you are in 2021 now, maybe the municipality must clarify to us. The report that they gave it to us is also stipulated that since 2018, they didn't have an MM. So they were rotating senior managers in order for them to have MM. So that's why this MM was issuing this directive, this MM come with this directive. As a result, the situation got complicated. The other issue, without going back, Chairperson, is that the municipality itself, under the leadership of the mayor, maybe also can just clarify us for future reasons. Because according to their report, they are the one who went and identified or appointed a chairperson of the disciplinary committee. I presume that that chairperson of the disciplinary committee was an independent person. The municipality wanted as much as a person who's going to be independent. But when the chairperson of the disciplinary committee, appointed by the municipality, gave them his or her report, they were not happy. You go and identify a person as a municipality, and when she or he's giving you a report that does not overwhelm with you, you took the matter to the labor court. It's also a worrisome. And then you are challenging what was that the chairperson of the disciplinary committee was saying in that matter of that former MM. So you run to the labor court. And after the labor court, you go back to a legal opinion. I am sure, chairperson, those things cost taxpayers money as well. But I'm subjected to be corrected if it was not the taxpayers' money that was used to this process, which should be proven to be very complicated. And then you, the first legal opinion, said, no, stick to your settlement agreement, because you are the one who has initiated this settlement agreement. You are not happy again as the municipality. You also went and get another legal opinion. In my opinion, you also use taxpayers' money. So I'm not sure, Chairperson, maybe was be clarified by the fiscal leadership at the mayoral level and MSC. Also, because the MSC at the provincial level also has to do the oversight at the municipal level. It must not get to this big chaotic situation at the municipal level if the MSC and his team in the province were not sleeping on their duties. They were doing their work. And also at an MEC level, at a provincial level, please tell us why there was no talking between you and your counterpart at a provincial level, the treasurer. while the treasurer was sleeping on his or her duty, until the municipality thought that, okay, we are getting somewhere with this issue. And then the provincial treasurer said, no, no, this thing must not go on according to your plan. I agree, Chairperson, this matter will be resolved by the Labour Court. And on the report as well, it's also stipulated that the Labour Court, because of COVID regulations and so on, is going to take some time. And then even before COVID, Labour Courts are struggling with cases. So therefore, as much as I want to believe that the municipality were biased, but it also has, I mean, it also has a very serious effect to that person by the name of the former MM, which I think, according to the report, she only gets 1 month's salary. The whole thing that, in the first form of the settlement, didn't even materialize. As a result, they must go to court. At some point, the report also provided that the court said, go back and talk, do the out-of-court settlement. And also that one was not materializing. So the whole situation is confusing, and my take as an activist, Chairperson, is that all these things, we must be told is how much have you used as municipality, how much have you taken from the taxpayers, because the brief that the mayor is just giving to us is very brief. He's just telling the Russian to say this matter is in court. It's in court, but politically we must be told why this matter is complicated and is confusing. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes. Mayor, can we go to page 45, 49, as an annexure 10, SMP1. Because the way this matter that, Lenny, this is the document that you attached as part of your bundle. And this matter that happened is called a settlement agreement. I hope colleagues can see the thing that I'm referring to, page 45 or 49. I will together, man. On the bundle. SMP1.
You are cutting.
Colleagues, can you hear me? Or is only the mayor can hear me?
Yes, Chair, we hear you loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can hear you, Chair.
Okay. We are on page 45. Of the documents as submitted by the mayor on the 30th of February. Then the document is referred to as SHMP1. Can the mayor hear me or anyone? The speaker can hear me, I suspect. The mayor, we together.
I can hear you, Chairperson. I'm just trying to get hold of the...
That should be a document.
Yes. You said an F...
An F M. H for Lacey, M for Mary, P for people, 1.
Okay, HMP.
The document in the Labour Court. SMP1 is the settlement agreement. You attached it, are we together, Mayor?
Yes, I'm trying to get to the page as...
If you can look at the screen.
The screen is clear. If they can just... Yeah, you may carry on, Chairperson.
Yes. I want to, in fact, go up to page and it's S1. The Council Resolution is an excellent from minutes of the first meeting of Ifrae Mohale Local Municipality at 10th December. Can you see that?
Yes, Chairperson.
And then it finds settlement agreement entered by and between Ifrae Mohale and the municipal manager.
Hmm? Yes, Chairperson.
Then go down to SMP1. Is the settlement agreement itself? It's page 45 of 59. On the documents that you're sending to us.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is the order of the court, the way it's put here. If you read paragraph 4, paragraph 4 is on page, go down actually, the same document, I think it's on page 48. It says, this seems to be a document that was signed as part of the court, the labor court. This is the case number 2019. And then this is the document that was signed by both parties. And then and that is the settlement agreement is made in order of court. I just need clarity under the matter because this is the document. Then when you are talking about the various matters that are happening, whereas there was this, as Honorable Mkalipi was, I want you to talk to this Majoro, what is this? And then the other issue that I wanted to raise is on the covering name of your report on page 1. The covering name of your report, the letter that you wrote to us on the, your findings on the 30th of April. Can you go to the go to paragraph the office of the mayor, go up. Yeah, there's a paragraph there before the attorney to please find. The office of the mayor is in the process of compiling a report on the issue, which report will be submitted to Council for consideration. This is you writing to us on the 30th of April. Can you share with us the contents of that report? Because as Honorable Mkalipi was saying, it has been very brief. And this, so we want to know in between the 30th of April 2021 and today, what were the details of that report? And then was that report, as you said, submitted to Council for consideration? And then what was the outcome of such consideration? That from me on my side. Then you can deal with the issues at rest. Over to you, ma'am. I unmute. Yes, thank you.
Yes, thanks very much, Chairperson. I refer you to a minister legal so that he can be able to explain. Yes, this one of the court order. If whether it's a court order or not. May I through you, Chairperson?
Okay.
Chairperson? Okay, through you, Chairperson, Mr. Molefe, the minister.
I'm waiting, I said it's okay.
Chairperson of the Petroleum Committee on Corporate Governance, Honorable A.F. Mthambi, Member of the Parliament, Ms. A.F. Mthambi, Honorable Members of this committee, the Mayor, and all the protocols observed. Chairperson, allow me to respond only on the issue of the settlement agreement being made an order of court as per paragraph 4 of the settlement agreement, Chairperson. Chairperson, as far as you are concerned, as the municipality where we are sitting now, the settlement agreement has not been made a court order as yet. That is why in the report which was given by the mayor when he started, he indicated that there are currently three applications lying at the High Court. One of those applications, Chairperson, which is currently lying at the Labour Court, is an application filed by the former municipal manager to have this settlement agreement to be made a court order. So as we speak, Chairperson and honorable members, the application to have the settlement agreement to be made an order of court is one of those applications which are still lying at the Labour Court. There's nothing articulated. So as we are sitting here, Chairperson, I see paragraph 4 saying that the settlement agreement be made an order of court. What I can say is that yes, that application has been filed at the Labour Court and it has not been ventilated on the merit. So our understanding for now is that it's not yet a court order, Chairperson. Thank you.
Before that, can I come? Who are the people who signed this document? Is this document authentic or not? I'm following up majority.
Yes, it's authentic. It was signed.
Is this document authentic or not?
The document is authentic, Chairperson. Am I audible? The document is authentic. Mm-hmm. And the people who signed the document are our officials. Like as the legal services manager indicated that it is not yet a court order.
Can we then understand this? What orchestrated the signing of the settlement agreement? The issue of it not yet being a court order. Was there no litigation under case AR188/2019 that when you as parties realize that the matter can be resolved out of court, then you opted to sign this document? Maybe the simple question asked, what was the rationale of signing this document? And then I want to understand in particular who signed for the applicant. What is the name of the person who signed the signature for the applicant being the municipality? When I interpret this was signed in October 2020 as a consequence of the matter that was before the Labour Court with AR188/2019, it was signed to resolve that matter that was there. Because these other court proceedings, I hear them. But now this was the result of the court matter that was before the court then. I'm not going to get into the merits, but the way I look at this document, because whoever signed, maybe the person who signed at the time can explain to us what were they signing for here. And then the beauty about it, Mr. Matibela, because that's the issue that brought us back here. He's also here. Maybe he will explain that. We are not dealing with the merits of the case, but we are discussing the fact because we arrived here based on the fact that every time when we asked, we were told there's nothing like that at the time. And that's when the MM brought this to our attention. That's why I want us to address that in line with what Honorable Mukaiso was raising as well. Who's the person who signed on behalf of the applicant? And at the time, what was this person signing for? Because it's not in relation to the enforcement, another matter, but at the time there was a case. And we all agree with that name, that is the name.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, for that clarity. Like we indicated in our initial report, that as the, like now as the MEC and the Honorable Committee have highlighted, the municipality felt that it is a waste of money to pay full salary to the suspended MM, whereas we are also paying the person who will be acting on her behalf. And as such, that is when we reached a settlement agreement. In our last engagement, we did apologize as the municipality that we didn't understood the question as raised in the 17th March meeting. And we deliberated on the matter to say that the settlement agreement was there, it was signed but not implemented. Because by the time as we are about to implement the agreement, that is when we received an instruction letter from the provincial treasurer demanding answers regarding issues of recoveries and other matters. But if by answering your question of who signed the agreement, the accounting officer or the acting accounting officer, Oilo Marge acting MM, that's the part, signed and another official witness. Then as the matter goes forward after we receive that directive from the or instruction from the provincial treasurer, that is where council sits on the matter again and receives the decision to implement the settlement agreement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, I think
that
appreciate that is by Honorable Mukhalisi and the other matter in relation to the covering letter of your report.
Sitting
with people, you're not even wearing a mask, Major. What's happening? So you want to use that copy to be a super spread. You know the norm. And we can hear you whispering to others. So you can continue to implement
that
well and good.
Our apologies for that. I'm sitting with the legal manager. The issue of the covering letter, you remember in our last engagement, Chairperson, and the honorable members, we had a challenge with regard to the disconnection of the municipal manager or acting municipal manager. And the committee instructed me to I can't recall that term again, so that I can what should I say? Or to for the lack of a better way, I would say that to call the MM to order or reprimand the MM. That was the recommendation from the committee that the meeting instructed the mayor to reprimand the ATMM. Then we sat down with the MM after our meeting together with the legal manager. And MM apologized verbally that he had a challenge with regard to this connection. You remember at that time That was when the country was experiencing load shedding and other stuff. So that is the content of the covering letter as indicated by you, the chairperson. Thank you. Chairperson?
The question of Honorable Mukai Sinano M has been responded to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The from the Honorable Khalifi, I believe that she was she was directing her question to both the MEC and the municipality. The issue of low coordination in the improvising leadership, that I believe that the MEC can respond to that. The letter from the provincial treasury, I responded to that when the acting MM and the other official witnessed the signing of the settlement, the council received the previous recommendation to settle the former MM. As such, because of the instruction letter that we received from the provincial treasurer, council received the decision to settle. And hence now the message still in labor court.
And then when you received the reinstated the MM?
No. That was not the decision of council to reinstate it.
There's
also the issue of the disciplinary committee chairperson, as highlighted by Honorable Mukhalibi, that the municipality appointed the disciplinary committee, the chairperson of the disciplinary committee, who we believe, yes, that he was working independently. And by valuing the amount lost from the municipality of 18 million, that's a being. The recommendation of the disciplinary committee that the former MM must be taken to a course of investment, that she must be suspended without pay for 3 months. Hence, I am saying that the council, when they take the decision, we did deliberate on the matter, if whether the sanctions do value the 80 million lost through irregular investment. That was when the council also, as well, requested to review the disciplinary committee sanctions. Thank you, Chairperson.
What is the status of the review of the DC sanctions?
Yeah.
How did you review just to reject the sanction of the chairperson, or you approach the court?
We approach the court.
What is the status of that matter, if one can ask?
Mm-hmm. The very same report that I presented earlier, that an application which was filed by the municipality for the review of a decision of the chairperson of disciplinary hearing involving the municipality and the former MM was set down for hearing on the 13th May 2021.
And then what happened on the because the matter was sent down?
Yeah, we were advised by our attorneys on record. Yes, I'm trying to answer that question, Chairperson. On record, we were advised by our attorneys that on the date since May 2021, the court did not be ventilated on the merits of the application. Instead, what the court did was to issue out a directive for consolidation of the other three applications or methods filed by both parties.
Okay. Are you done with Honorable Khalid's question?
Yes, I believe I've done justice on them.
What is outstanding is my on the office of the mayor is in the process of compiling a report on the issue, which will be submitted to council for consideration. You haven't responded to that question before I allow Honorable Khalid.
Yes, well, that's what we are still waiting
for. Chairperson?
Chairperson?
Yes?
Okay. I am saying this statement speaks to the issue which was raised by the portfolio committee that you are instructing the mayor to reprimand the municipal manager. Like I've indicated that we did seek for that reprimand, I called the MM together with the manager legal to just check his presence, why he did disconnect during the session with portfolio committee. And he indicated, hence I am saying it was a verbal session, hence he indicated that he was disconnected. As such, I took a decision to verbally warn the MM that in future, when the portfolio committee, whether provincial or national, any structure of government that wants us to respond to certain issues, we must ensure that we agree to that engagement. It was the issue of technology that he was disconnected, something that it was beyond his approach, I believe.
Major, simple. The office of the mayor is in the process of compiling the report. The office of the mayor is in your report written. The office of the mayor, I'm putting you back at him. The office of the mayor is in the process of compiling a report on the issue, which report will be submitted to council for consideration. This was what you said on the 30th of April. Today's date is the 20th. What date is it today, Commissioner?
Second.
Should be the 23rd of July.
22nd.
Is the 22nd of July today?
Yes.
Did you compile that report? And did you submit that report to council for consideration? It's a straightforward question in line with what you agreed to ask as part of your submission. And then if this is not yet, then how many months later? When are you actually doing this if it was not for malicious compliance? Because you are on record on the 30th of April. And if you are touching this matter very seriously, 3 months later, you have not yet done that. You want us to take you serious? Or are you taking this committee seriously?
Chairperson, so you didn't our last engagement.
On the 20th of April, saying you are compiling a report to council. Today is the 22nd of July. You have not yet done that, but you are on record saying that. What do you want us to conclude on that one? Honorable Khalid, you will answer the question later. Honorable Khalid.
Well, thanks very much, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by your question, but also wanted to check, because they said on their report they were rotating since 2018. Do they have an MM now? As a municipality, or they are still rotating?
Thank you, President, and the question from Honorable...
You see the problem of you talking to a person. You are talking to the person and you won't be hearing what you're saying to the other person. You're going to accuse us of us not treating you fairly, but we are hearing what you are saying. I don't want to say what you said. Press you to respond. Can you be careful?
Thanks for that advice.
But make sure that
you forget
what you were saying.
Like I said earlier that I'm sitting with the manager legal, my apology for not muting when I was inspiring to the manager this time. And I also want to thank the question as raised by Honorable Mkhanipi. The MEC indicated earlier at a present that since these issues of BPS, the suspension of the senior managers and or the dismissals, most municipalities we ended up working with acting or rotating senior managers for the position of the accounting officer. In our case, the municipality has six senior managers. I just want to give you a brief background with the challenges that we are facing as political leadership of the municipality. Of six senior managers that municipality has, only two positions are filled, which is the position of the Director of Infrastructure Services and the position of Community Services, wherein the Director of Community Services is the acting municipal manager, the very same municipal manager who is acting now, who disconnected in our 20th April meeting. And the committee requested the mayor to reprimand him, like I indicated on that one. Currently, we are finalizing the process of appointing a municipal manager. And we have just advertised four other senior positions, four other senior positions in the sense that the position of the Director of Community Services is coming to an end at the end of October. And as such, Cockstar wrote a letter to the municipality indicating that the Director of Community Services is coming to an end, as such the municipality must just prepare itself to see that we fill that position. Whereas we had another threat, clear to the Director of Community Services, Director CFO, is the former CFO is the very same one we are busy with recovery for the money lost as maybe since 2018 we never filled the position. The Director of Planning and Economic Development, we filled the position for a while, and the incumbent go for greener pastures. So as such, now we are left with only two senior managers position filled, and one of those senior managers is the current 18th municipal manager. And coming to your question, Chairperson, of why since April to date, we didn't take that matter to council. That one, I will apologize on that one, because like I said, that we reprimanded him thereby. So the challenge that we are having as the primary local municipality currently is that we don't have municipal manager, but that process, I believe, very soon will be concluded because the process has just run for 90% of it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Morning, Chairperson. Chair, my order. No, Chair, this is just a follow-up question triggered by the response of the mayor. Do I get it that the mayor is saying that the position of the corporate services manager has been vacant since 2018? And that the position of the MM has not been filled. They are still reciting Section 56 manager to act. Mayor, that is not leadership. We can't allow a situation where critical position in institutions would remain vacant when we have to render services to our communities. And it is a well-known fact that a vacancy in the position of a municipal manager or a CFO is a qualification factor on its own by the Auditor General. Because you do not have an accounting office. And when will then you stabilize the administration in the institution? What is it that is holding you back as the mayor and the council in actually employing a municipal manager? Thanks, man. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kumzam. Honorable Fraser, the MEC can come later. Honorable Fraser. Honorable Kaisan?
Yes, Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm listening, I'm from a doctor right now. And thank you for the opportunity. And I'm late, so I will then be brief. What I'm listening to here, Chairperson, is the perpetual state of the municipality thing. Saying is apologies all the time. Every time they come to this committee, there is a discrepancy that they have. That is false. And my question is that for how long? Because now it's the third time now, having been given a second chance by the committee to afford the mayor to clarify the discrepancy and the understanding of what the committee's questions were based on. And was under the impression that that committee was referring to a monetary settlement page to the MM on discussion when we prove this thing, and he further contradicted himself. I'm just asking, for how long must we have a situation where the mayor comes to the committee and waste the resources while there is money that should be recovered, and the vacancies like Honorable Umba has just alluded to right now. For how long must we take this apology as the committee? Because we have done so on numerous occasions now, which speaks to the state of readiness. And the state of, because to me it looks like more factional and political, these things of not filling up. How could you do that as a mayor, not filling up a position when you are actually having a service delivery backlog of water and many other backlogs in the municipality? That should be at the forefront of the political leadership of that particular municipality. If you have leadership, it's at the local sphere of government that is dedicated, that is ethical to the core, to deliver on daily basis without either or, with commitment. Because the mayor, the last time when we forgave him, he further committed that on the 30th he will write. None of that has been written to the committee, and now we are not afforded a chance to reconcile this information as we should, as the committee, to conduct our oversight so that they are able to do their work, and our people in the ICAC are able to get service delivery from them as leadership of that municipality. So I'm asking a question: for how long must we watch a meander like this as a portfolio committee and speaking to this issue when it is clear there is no political willingness in the municipality to deal with such things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Anything? Or you want the mayor to respond, you'll come later.
I will decide as well with that, Chair.
Yes. Yeah, there are issues raised by Honorable Gumza and Honorable Chair. For your attention.
The issue
that I raised earlier, to say, when you write this report, was it just for malicious compliance or what? Because you're on record saying that, yes, we are committed to dealing with this matter. I'm in the process of compiling a report on the issue. Then the report will be submitted to Council for consideration, and here we are since the 30th of April. Today we are on the 22nd of July. Seemingly nothing has happened. So then the accuracy of the report, and then on top of that, there's a report that you seem to have presented, which is not part of what you've given us on the 30th. Why didn't you see the need of you updating your report? Because where I'm seated also, I'm interested in seeing that court directive that you are saying is there. Because you know, you have only appeared before us on the 22nd today of July. There was a hearing in the court that happened on the 13th of May. Why didn't you see it prudent when you got an invitation to say, Committee Secretary, can I update my report so that I can share with the committee? If indeed you are committed to giving this committee accurate information. So those are the issues that one is interested in. As Honorable Kaiser has rightly put in correctly. Because you see, this, what you have written here on your list, that it is a 58th of April. You are on record saying that I'm doing that. But here we are 3 months later. Nothing has happened. You want this, what do you want this committee to do? I'm taking this committee seriously because we are seated here because of your action throughout, of you not taking this committee seriously, giving us contradictory information. So I want you, as and when you respond to the questions raised by the colleagues, to also deal with that. Because as Honorable Kaiser is saying, these apologies of yours that keep on coming time again, or even on the things that you committed you are going to do yourself, I find it very worrisome, myself in particular. I don't want to speak on behalf of the other. We're still going to deliberate on this. But that's why I'm trying to then make you aware of the consequence of what you are doing, of giving this, showing this committee a middle finger. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me respond to the two questions from Honorable Pumza and Chesa. I just want to highlight to Honorable Pumza that my statement is of six senior managers' positions and the position of the MM is needed. Four are vacant. And now we are in the final stages of appointing MM. I have said so that the progress is at 90%. Then with regard to other vacancies, I will take a position one by one and indicating the challenges. The CFO position has since been vacant since the former CFO who was charged with misconduct for investing 80 million with VPS. We have been acting around the position, acting in the acting capacity, together with the planning and economic development. And with regard to these positions, the position were advertised. The position were advertised, and it is just unfortunate that we didn't have the required skills. We even indicated these two while we were in Fetahomi, when we had our first physical meeting at Fetahomi, it was Council Chairman. I believe it was in 2019, if my memory still serves me correctly. Then there is a position of corporate services director, which only became vacant by the 30th October 2020. Then the position of which are filled now is the position of the community services, which I even indicated that the position is coming to an end at the end of October this year. And as such, Costa wrote a letter to us indicating that it is necessary for us as the municipality to start the processes of seeking a suitable candidate for the position of community services before it even expires. And I want to applaud Costa for that leadership showing. Then we are having the position of the director infrastructure, which is failed. Then when we were in Fetahomi, Mr. President, you recall, I even raised a matter that the challenge with us, the rural municipalities, is that we sometimes struggle to get to source a suitable candidate for these positions, particularly the position of the planning and economic development. Then the issue of saying that all these positions are qualification centers, that's the one we are agreeing on. We know that AGSA in our last audit, they even raised this matter with us. Hence, I am saying that all these positions, except the position of the MM, which we are about to conclude and appoint, all other these positions, they were advertised and the advert were closed. I believe it might be a week or two. The positions are closed. We are in the process now I will check in the MM to come and clarify the issue of the senior manager position. Where are we today? Then the issues raised by Honorable Chesa, and I believe Honorable Chairperson, like he indicated that he came late to the meeting. A lot of information was discussed, was raised from our level.
I will allow you to do that to the colleagues. I was listening to you. Don't capitalize on his incoming list. The issues that you raised, they have to be answered. I will have disallowed that question because I was listening to you when you were raising those questions. So just respond to the question.
Okay. Thanks very much, Chairperson. And my apology for that statement made. We do acknowledge that there is some discrepancies. That one we acknowledge. And the issue of settlement, as he indicated, Honorable Professor, we indicated, Chairperson, that in our last, on the 17th in March 2021, when the settlement question was raised, in the follow-up meeting of the 20th April, I did apologize on behalf of the municipality that we didn't get the content of the question. If whether we are saying that we give the former MM so much as a settlement, but we later explained that the process of settlement was ongoing until when council received a letter from provincial treasurer taking progress in terms of recoveries and other matters as raised in that letter. And we take the matter to council for consideration. That is when council resolved not to proceed with settlement, with NN. It is true the settlement was there. That's what we are agreed. The settlement was there, but because of that letter as issued by the provincial session, engagement in the council was that it will be unnecessary for us to settle and later say we are going to recover. So we later have not settled the former MM and proceed with the requirement of the instruction of provincial treasurer. That is where, as I have said that, Chairperson, these matters we spoke wholeheartedly on it in our previous meeting, and even today, my preamble report was that currently we are having this separated application in the court of law, in the labor court, and as you indicated, Chairperson, with the issue of the 18th May, the sitting of the 13th May 2021, that we responded that court did not ventilate on the merits of the application. Instead, what the court did was to issue out a directive for the consolidation of the other three applications of matters filed by both parties. As seated here, we are having these three matters consolidated into one sitting at the labor court. Thank you, Chairperson. And then coming to your question, okay, may I proceed?
Yes, proceed.
Yes. Thanks, Chairperson. We wrote a letter on the 29th of April 2021 to ourselves. Subject report of handling the matter. Handling of the 80 municipal managers, hearing and by impartial non-attendance of the portfolio committee briefing on the 20th April 2021. And I believe it's the same. Letter that you want us to speak on. Whereby the letter indicated during our sitting on the 20th April, the Chairperson Committee, Honorable Mutambi, and the committee raised a concern about the disappearance or non-attendance of the briefing by the acting municipal manager. The portfolio committee then instructed the mayor to deal with the issue and provide a report to the committee. As a point of dispatch, the municipality wished to bring to the attention of the committee that since the suspension of the former municipal manager, Mrs. M. Machivel, on the 18th December 2018, the municipality has been rotating Section 756 managers, senior managers, reporting directly to the municipal manager in 18 capacity. This has created a lot of administrative instability to the municipality. And this is what Comrade Kumsa has indicated that maybe as the political leadership of the management, we are not serious about the radical of this management. And of which I just want to reiterate that the political leadership, in particular the council chairperson, we are so hands-on running the management. The challenge with that we are experiencing is the appointment of senior managers. Like I indicated, that only 2% out of 6 are filled. So going again further with the letter, the municipality is to further bring to the attention of the Commission of Local Government disciplinary regulation to senior managers 2010, which regulate the issue of disciplinary procedures to senior managers. Clause 5.1 of the regulation provides that any allegation of misconduct against the senior manager must be brought to the attention of the municipal council, and that the allegation must be investigated. The Office of the Mayor is in the process of compiling a report on the issue, which the report will be submitted to Council for consideration. This letter speaks to the misconduct committed. If I put it correctly, that the acting management manager on the 20th of April disconnects. Hence, I have said that I sat down with the acting management manager and the manager legal. So just check the matters that the municipal manager found himself in during that session. So he indicated that he was disconnected, and when he tried to reconnect, no one accepted him. So, but I acknowledge the fact that the matter has been delayed. But taking into consideration, Chairperson, we are running a municipality with only two senior officials. Thank you, Chairperson. And on the issue of whether personally I do take the committee, I won't take the municipality, I will say personally I do recognize or take the portfolio committee serious. I'm a public rep myself, I was elected by the people. I do respect all the sectors or all the structures of government wholeheartedly. I even said this on the meeting of the project before, Chairperson. Thank you.
Yes, no, it's a, thank you so much, Chair. Am I audible?
Are you in the big?
No, Chair, I'm about to enter into a meeting with the taxi association. I'm trying to resolve the taxi violence needs. Yeah, but I just want to ask one question before, and I'm sure what they will say. The issue of... Yes, the issue of senior managers, Chairperson. We are aware that the chief of office of municipalities are coming to an end, and we are told that the issue of appointment of this MM is almost 90% done. The question therefore will be, what is the duration of that MM if the term of office is coming to an end? I'm raising this, Chair, based on previous experiences that you cannot appoint a manager on a long-term contract when your term of office is coming to an end. That responsibility is left to the new administration. So can I just get a clarity? What will be the duration of the contract of that MM if all things were according to plan, local government election were meant to be on the 27th of October. So assuming that you're 90% done, one will hypothetically speaking, conclude that maybe around September they will conclude the appointment. Will it be an appointment for 1 month or a year? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, also early on then, it's a valid one. At the same time, they are litigating with the MM around the same issue. There was an outcome of the disciplinary board that they decided to review. They signed a settlement agreement which they didn't honor. At the same time, we're told we've advertised the position, whereas they've not yet. While they are busy litigating with the previous MM. How do you reconcile the two? That's why.
Exactly.
That's the issue. I was just simplifying what you are asking as well.
Cover your nose, please. You're going to get corona then.
I hope they help you.
I'll definitely do so. Honorable, thanks for the advice.
Mm-hmm. Then those are some of the issues, Majority, that the colleagues want to get clarity. And then the other issue that the colleagues also asked me to ask you on all these matters, on this litigation that you are litigating on, how much who's paying all for all these legal fees? And how much does it cost you that one? Because I would like Ms. Matibela to come and explain to us that settlement agreement that was signed, because on the face of it looks to me as an order of the court. Then when we were told it to be made an order of court, whereas it was signed to settle a matter that was before the court. I'm getting confused because you can see that settlement agreement not like an ordinary settlement agreement that was done in order to settle a matter that was in the court. So maybe Ms. Matibela, because remember we are here based on Ms. Matibela telling us that we will not hold the truth. Does Honorable Khaleesi want to say something as well so that we...
Yes, Chair. I remember that we were misled by the municipality until the former MM said no. That is not true what you were told this parliament, then we are here because of her. So it would be very prudent as well to get her side of the story. Because Chairperson, one, is alluding to the fact that the council or the municipality to take decisions, and then once they have taken the decision, they don't honor that decision, and then they go and source another legal opinion. If you go to their report, the last paragraph on their report, the recommendation of the second legal opinion. That's why in the morning or earlier on, I said, where is the provincial treasurer to come and explain to us? Because the legal opinion of which, for me, I think that, as Honorable President was saying, all of this, we summarize it as sectional. All of this, we are here because the municipality go and source an independent chairperson, and then they are not happy about what he or he has said, and then they go and get a legal opinion. The first legal opinion, when they are not happy, they go and get a second legal opinion. And you just ask yourself, what do they want? Which opinion do they want? Because the second one, the second legal opinion on their report, we are told here by the municipality, they are advising them that they must not honor the settlement agreement on the basis that there was that letter from the provincial trader. So that's why we wanted the provincial trader to come and tell us why they didn't talk to the municipality very early. Secondly, Chairperson, I am sure the MEC will come and also clarify some of this confusion. Because if there's a confusion, at a municipal level, the province must come and also rescue all of us. So I'm hoping that MEC is going to clarify most of the things that are being caused by the municipality here. So therefore, we need to know why they enter very late. Why they are saying that, no, we can't continue and honor our own decision as a council. It's because of the later legal opinion, of which I'm sure the municipality were very, very happy about it. So therefore, we need to get to the bottom of this, Chairperson, because if you go to the Labour Relations Act, I think Section 86, you know the former MM, I think she's got all the reasons to say they have also raised expectations, because that section talks about expectations, Section 86 of the LRA. So they are the ones, the municipality say, no, this is an agreement, you are going to pay 1 million plus 1 month salary. All of a sudden, no, we are not. So you are raising an expectation to this person. It's not her who said, no, let me just propose to you to settle this matter out of court in order for this thing just to go off. It's you, municipality. And then she agreed. And then you are saying on the versus settlement, once you have agreed or you have signed this settlement or settlement agreement, just resign. She just do and pay your advice. But you go and change your own decision. What about her? As much as I agree that some of the money that was misused through the VBS must be also get. But at the end of the day, we must balance the two. We can't raise expectations to a poor person. As a result of this person, I'm sure she does not have any money to support her children. It's not because of her doing. It's because of you, lack of leadership in the municipality. So that's why we need to get to the bottom of this thing in order to avoid this thing to happen again, not even in your municipality. But I agree, Chair, there was an honorable member who said that we must not allow the situation to happen. Anyone who is found that does not do his or her job must be punished. There must be a consequence management. We can't allow at the level of leadership for this confusion, because this confusion is not costing only the municipality. It also has a direct effect on the service delivery. The poor people are waiting there to get their services. You go and pay legal fees using their tax money, but if they want water, if they want electricity, if they want houses, they are not going to get those houses because there's no money. You are busy fighting fictional battles instead of providing leadership, saying that let us settle this thing out of court. You as an MM, we have done 1, 2, 3, and therefore we need that money in order to go and service our people on the ground. So we need to know who's paying. Is the officials of the municipalities are paying from their own pocket, or is the mayor is paying from his own pocket? Who is paying for all these things that is not necessary? Instead of providing leadership, sitting down and talk as leaders and resolve this matter out of court. Thank you very much, Chair.
MSC, you want to start first before the mayor comes on the issues that are affecting them?
Let me come, Chairperson. Maybe yes. Some of the things that continue to come. Yeah, maybe we will be able to help, because Honorable Khalifi is always emphasizing the lack of leadership in the province, or poorly coordinated in the province, to an extent that Honorable Khalifi even goes to say there is a lack of leadership in the ruling party. And we should be able to clarify some of the things, I think. Let me give a background, Chairperson, that in the country, when the AG was giving the 1920 audit outcomes, it was only Limpopo which had recorded significant improvements. And we were able to characterize our improvement mainly because of our collaborative work between SARGA, Provincial Treasurer and Court. So if there was an issue that could be picked here by Treasury writing a letter to a municipality, and that could be characterized as a poorly coordinated government, I'm not so sure whether that would be correct. Because in terms of the Systems Act, there are roles and responsibilities that the MEC for local government in the province should be able to do. But that does not necessarily take away the roles and responsibilities that the MEC for Treasury should be able to do in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act. And I can allow this portfolio committee to verify the collaborative work that we have done, the SARGA in the province, and the tangible programs that we're running together and coordinating and supporting municipalities. Including a plan that we're talking about, or we're sitting on qualified audit opinion. They have received a qualified audit opinion, which is much appreciated to a particular level, the leadership. And I think the portfolio committee should not shy away when we're playing an oversight to show a gap and say, MEC, municipality, we think you should be able to improve in this way. Because we can take long and the whole day trying to pick, and I have said it purposefully at the beginning, the catch 22 situations which created by investment in the VBS. And I must say as well, I don't necessarily agree that it's a functional politics when a disciplinary process ran and it has to submit to council, and council start to get to be divided because it was a hot potato, this VBS matter. And the ordinary councillors, they will not run away from their responsibility to agree or disagree with the sanction that was given by the so-called, and I call, independent chairperson of the disciplinary process, and said 3 months suspension. When people look at that and say, no, as the ultimate authority of this municipal council, we don't necessarily agree with that. And we say that it's a functional battle. I don't agree to that. I think councillors were taking their rightful position in making sure that they play the oversight that is expected of them by the community as elected representatives. And like I said, as well, when they took such a decision which will prolong a review of the disciplinary process, which finally today as we speak, there are matters which are lying in the court of law. But they were able to run the other processes to an extent that they want to appoint an SM. And I can tell you, as the MEC, I spoke to most of the mayors who had a challenge of the same nature. I may not also give you an example. It was Ephraim Mukale, Elias Musale, Collins Chavani, which remained under this difficulty, where MMs were contesting their space, where councillors were taking this team without necessarily resigning, which also kicked in the civil place, as it is said. But what I'm trying to say here is, let's support the municipality and get a sense how do we assist so that they can be able to have a permanent MM. Now, we may not necessarily be saying that we are not coordinated. We are coordinated, but we have got all our own responsibilities. Where we are, all the details that the mayor tried to give and you rightfully pick on and try to probe so that the truth could be told. And I'm saying we are under oath once we appear in the portfolio committee here, that we must give the correct information so that you can be able to play your oversight role, including guiding us to say what is it that we should do. And we're doing our best to support. And at the time they informed us, and I think the support we're giving, Chairperson, you know better, and honorable members, that the provisions of the constitution and the legislation that are governing us, even if you play your oversight, you should be able to consider how you do that within the state. Like the responsibility of appointing and firing of a municipal manager in the position that of that rests with council. And it can't be even if the MEC has a feeling of stability in this province. We don't necessarily overreach our support and our oversight into municipalities that normally create problems that will lead up to the interference or normal intervention or monitoring. So I'm saying, we are doing our level best to support the municipality, and it is true that they should be able to appoint. And on a one-to-one, the question that Honorable Adewe raised, as you said, Chair, is the correct one. When the mayor spoke to me as an MEC to say, we are appointing an MM, we will want all the process as they come to COSTA to get to be done swiftly. I asked the very same person that, are you aware about the sending legislation about what happened to the MM after the cancer? And both the candidates and the municipalities, whoever would be appointed, is in sync with what the legislation says to say it will only be 12 months after the council that would have been appointed. And we said that would be proper if there is that understanding by everybody. But at least since 2018, we will have a municipal manager in the municipality which will take, looking at the performance that will be there from this, which is said to be suitable candidate, we will be able to take the matter forward. And it's a matter that we always make sure, and I said it in my preamble, Chair, that this DPS, when it came, nobody had experience, but it was a matter. And I don't think Honorable Mukhalisi, it's fair to say there's a lack of coordinated leadership. We are the only province that can be shown that all the municipalities that invested in DPS, we collectively as a provincial government, not only treasurer, including also the premier, we work together and make sure that all municipalities do take actions against such things, but also help them to replace where it was done quickly to appoint. And some municipalities have appointed, we have the records in that effect. So we should be looked into people who are not necessarily, like she said, sleeping on duty without supervising municipalities. But the challenges that affect municipalities get to be attended to. And I think even this one, there is nothing that makes us not to be supporting the municipality. I think if my HOD were to speak or the DG, they will tell this road letter, which wanted us to help them to resolve this matter, which was not necessarily within the legislation, and said, go to look at the disciplinary code, how we should handle it. It can't be, at this time, you say you are settling without necessarily going through the normal process of attending to the matter, including BBS and any other misconduct, which senior managers get to in the province. We normally follow legislation to the latter and make sure that there is stability. And I think we are going there through to stabilize the municipalities, including Ephraim Okale that is this. And I think, Chair, under your guidance, when you direct us to support the municipality and expect the municipality to do some other things, we are willing to take that. And we will not underestimate this engagement we are having with you. We take it in serious light, and I will think even the mayor should be able to take this in serious light. The executive mayor and the chair of Salga is here together with them. They can also say what is it that we are doing in the province to support all these municipalities, including Ephraim. I thank you.
Okay. Majoro, there were questions that were directed to you.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Is the question raised by Honorable Khatebe on the issue of the timeline to appoint MM vis-a-vis the local government elections? I think the MEC has responded to that, but seems to say that even in our address, Chairperson, we indicated that whoever is interested in applying for these positions, including the position of the senior managers, that their term of office will not, the period will not exceed 1 year after the local government elections. Then the issue raised by the chairperson of the litigation with the MMRS vis-a-vis the appointment of the new MM. I heard you clearly, chairperson, when you remarked that we are not going to deal with the merits of the cases. And as the municipality also, we are not going to deal with the merits of the cases. But I just want to be clear on one issue before the former MM, in the presence of the former MM. This municipality primarily invested 80 million. In 2017, irregularly, the council only became aware in 2018, a year after the money was invested irregularly. And the former MM never charged the CFO, she never suspended the CFO until the matter was raised by the report from the House report. The whole 12 months, the man was invested in regular. As Honorable Mukhani is saying that the poor person ran a salary to feed her children. But the merit of, not the merit of the case, our issue here, if MM indeed she was hands-on with regard to the finances of the municipality, surely by the end of 2017, she should have picked up that money was invested irregularly without her authority by the then CFO. So that, I can see that Honorable Mokali is on the screen. I don't know whether she speaks to us or not.
Can you talk? I've given you a platform. Just call you and say, you might have posted the gallery view, she said, But I'm telling you, he has not indicated to me he wants to speak. I don't know why. It's not even again. I don't know what screen my seeing that I don't see.
No, she was on my screen speaking, and I don't know whether she wants to interrogate me.
No, there's something wrong with your screen.
Pardon me.
I can see all of you here. Stop. Thank you.
Like, I just want to indicate that it mustn't be about the poor person not getting her salary. We must also value the 80 million lost under her watch. Like I am saying that we are not here, and I'm going to honor that statement you made that we are not here to discuss the merit of the cases. But I think in most elements, the MEC of Foster has tried to give us a direction that most issues as raised by Mrs. Mukali on the coordination of the provincial leadership vis-a-vis oversight and everything. We are waiting hand in glove. We are waiting smoothly with both COPSTA and Tresha. So any other... the issue of the cost as one member and myself, Chairperson, has raised on record. Setting aside the settlement agreement, it cost the municipality 361,000. Unless you want to keep the whole 361,928.88. Yes, to review the sanction has cost them as 726,327.
Yes.
Pardon?
That's the remittance, this is according to you.
Yes.
So you have already mentioned the third one?
The third one is to make a settlement agreement a court order. It's 161,701.60. Yeah, I think I stand with all the questions which were directed to me.
Ms. Mativana, then I'll allow the MC to say the issue of clarity that we want you to understand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. My greetings to... Let me put on my video. Thank you, Chairperson. And greetings to the Honorable MC, Honorable Members of the Parliament, the Honorable Mayor of Israel Morale, and the Chairperson and the leadership of SALGA and COPSTA. Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to give a clarity, but before that, I just want to touch on a few matters, but because maybe I might not come back again on the platform. Chairperson, I've been listening throughout, and I think it was going to assist if the municipality was tabling a very comprehensive report on this matter, because I believe that report will really assist. Because I think as we are here, we are before the Committee of Parliament to be assisted in resolving the matter amicably. Also, Chairperson, I want to say the issue of VPS has been ugly. And the matters that the mayor is raising now that I've been aware for 12 months, I've not done anything to CFO. I think the mayor must also resist the investigation report. It will really assist him because not being tempted to respond to the merits of the case, we might be now giving misrepresentation of facts, which is very serious now. I'm not going to go through that because, Chairperson, ever since the matter of VPS, I stood and attended the DC of the municipality. And all of these matters, including the one that the mayor is raising now, of me, the poor person, being aware 12 months not doing anything since the CFO have been disposed of in the DC. And the ruling report of the presiding officer is very clear on that matter. But above that, Chairperson, I will also refer to the investigation report. It is very clear of what I did and what other officials did in contradiction to the money invested with DPS. Now, Chairperson, let me now go back to the issue of the settlement agreement not being made an order of a court as it was raised by the legal manager of the municipality. Chairperson, it is very much upsetting and disappointing because after the ruling by the presiding officer of the DC, the matter was subjected to review. We concurred, Chairperson, and we said we disposed of our own affidavit before the court. Before the matter was heard by the court, then it was a settlement agreement. I'm so surprised to hear that the municipality is under the laboring mind that the settlement agreement, as it is not yet a court order, it does not have a weight. The agreement carries a weight. It has a weight to cut off my employment contract with the municipality, which the employment contract is a binding, lawful document of the municipality between me and the municipality. The settlement agreement is law. Even now, today, the 22nd, it is still an agreement standing. Now let me explain, Chairperson, why they say there is not a court order yet. After signing the settlement agreement, when we applied for the agreement to be a court order, they brought in an interlocutory application to the court of law. You cannot make an agreement which has not yet been fully signed to be a court order. You must, both parties must agree and sign. Then from there, it is taken to the court. Now, when they brought in the interlocutory application, that means they are saying to the court, before you make this agreement a court order, consider setting aside the agreement. Now, that is what the municipality was saying initially, that the judge on the 13th day said, all these cases are going to be consolidated. The judge said it very clear, don't waste court time. All these cases are going to be consolidated because they are talking of one person material, MM. Now, it cannot be correct now that we're saying we are not implementing the settlement agreement because it's not a court order. In other words, Chairperson, the municipality, as I want to round out now, it is now a judge over me in terms of one, the agreement, because I have resigned on the strength of the agreement. My salary has been cut on the strength of this agreement. In other words, the municipality, before the labor court can sit and dispose of that agreement, the municipality is already now being a judge on me. On the issue of civil recovery, Chairperson, the municipality is withholding my pension payout. And the matter is before the High Court in Polokwane. Now, I wonder why the municipality, because I believe, if deemed broken the law in terms of investing money of the municipality in the BBS, which I'm not going to go into merit thereof, I must be judged by the same law fairly and in a very justified manner. The way the municipality is doing these issues, Chairperson, I really don't understand. But today, the 22nd, the settlement agreement still stands as a binding document. Chairperson, I hope I have spoken on this, and thank you very much.
The clarity that one wants to seek, that document is attached. Was there no a court case? Because it's attached, then it says it was referred to it being in the labor court. It's the case number. That's the issue that I wanted to understand the status of that settlement agreement.
Thank you, Chairperson. The clarity I can give you is that
After we have signed the agreement, they were supposed to pay after 30 days. They did not pay. Instead, they wrote a letter that Treasury has instructed them not to pay. They were requesting 5 days to be able to deal with their matters internally. So after that, they said they are not going to pay now. And that's when we took the matter to court, Chairperson, us as the applicant, our legal team, to say the settlement agreement demands court of law, court of, the court order, and that it be paid as we have already entered into. They opposed. But they also brought in immediately an interlocutory application to say they want to set aside that agreement. And they want the case of setting aside the agreement to be heard ahead of our application. That is why the judge said, no, we are going to consolidate all these matters. But Jefferson, all in all, the agreement, not yet in court order, but it's still a law, it's a binding, lawful binding document. Thank you.
Okay.
The test was up, was it a new end or is it the old one? Because at some point we need to come.
I got the new end, I'm fine.
We're fine, we're certain. With that clarity, colleagues provided and having heard the side of the municipality as well and the MEC, can't we end it here and then we'll reconvene to deliberate on the way forward of this matter? Finding will be then communicated to all the parties involved. That's how I'm thinking we must close the matter on. And maybe we must formally invite Treasurer Abiyi. Because the person with 34170 is the most person. I've always asked people not to use code names. I'm not sure if that the person is from Treasurer. 34170, who are you? Can we know who you are before? It's present before. Admin? Who's 34170? And we deal with intruders if they cannot then make it themselves move there.
Okay, person, I've been trying to even message the person privately to ask who they are. I haven't gotten any response yet.
But why didn't you remove the person that if the person does not want to name himself person? Should have done that long ago. Then, colleagues, this is the proposed way forward, Honorable Director. As I've said in my introduction to say how to be reconciled so that then we finalize this matter. Can we close it on that in that session that we are going to deliberate on this matter as a committee? And then can we also implore the mayor to give us the supplementary report that he presented verbally, including the court directive he was referring to. By today, Thursday, by Tuesday next week. We date is Tuesday next week.
Can you say it, Chairperson?
It will be the 27th.
Yes.
Yeah. Then so that when we get next week, we'll be able to deliberate as a committee with a view of closing this matter. That's what we agree. We even say the 27th. I hope you are going to comply with this. Then I think we need to end this proceedings here and maybe recuse our guests. then we allow the DG to DG of DTA to update us with regard to the arrangements in relation to the passing on of the national house, of the house of traditional and coastal leadership. That's what it's called now in terms of the new act. We can certainly leave, then we'll be dealing with that. Did you before from? Can you update us on that matter, given the fact that we have worked closely with the chairperson, and as a committee, we are also then touched by his passing away. We've been in touch with the family, yes. But I think an update, maybe whether there's a link wherein committee members would love to attend his funeral because it's COVID, you know that. Then you can update us on the arrangement. CGD Kofun, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to the members of the committee. Yes, indeed, Chairperson, as you indicated, we received the third news on the passing of our Chairperson of the National House of Traditional and Coastal Leaders on Friday afternoon. And we're pleased that His Excellency the President approved the granting of an official funeral service for the resident. So the arrangements are that the service will take place tomorrow at the Royal Place in Machidin, in Mpumalanga. It's about an hour and a half just outside Pretoria, with all the COVID restrictions and protocols being adhered to, with a maximum number of 50 people. There is an electronic condolence book that GCIS has opened. We will provide the details of that to the Secretariat of the Committee so that members of the Committee would like to make use of that e-condolence book to send messages to the family that can be done. Out of the 50 that will be attending, the arrangement is that 10 will be government, 4 will be the traditional leaders, and 36 will be members of the family. But of course, we have seen also in the list that the family has compiled that they have also been generous enough to add other traditional leaders that have worked closely with Ngabezitha. There are discussions at the moment with GCIS in terms of access for those who will not be able to go to the service, and that will be confirmed during the course of the morning, whether it will just be television coverage or whether there will be a virtual link other than television coverage that will be created. That is being under discussion with GCIS this morning, and once that has been finalized, we'll also share the details with the committee through the secretary. That as far as the arrangements stand at the moment, Chairperson. Thank you.
Well, that's the update. I will find that update.
We are fine, Chair.
Okay. We are fine, Chair, and we are heartbroken as a committee, but we are fine. We understand the protocol of COVID-19. But I just want to check, Chair, there is no arrangement at a later stage of a memorial service whereby we can do it virtually, or that's it, DG?
DG, that's the question.
Through you, Chairperson, yes, I know that even the houses in their last meeting held yesterday, they raised that issue, indicated that they would want to make arrangements for virtual memorial service after the proceedings are done. So it is something that is on the table. And I think the arrangements for that will be concretized once the Friday service has been done. It has certainly been placed by the Chairperson's forums of houses of traditional leaders, as well as the National House the traditional and Kwesa leaders as well. But I think if we then allow tomorrow's process to proceed, and once arrangements get underway for another virtual memorial service, we will then get in touch with the community to make that information known. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, sir?
No, Chair, at this moment, President, supporting us, and we would like the DG to pass these words to the family that JJ Archolobe says that Musa Ulila is Mulali, Kevo Tigre of Kalan, Mega Enanga Pambi, Megi Temba Pambi, Feather Hazrat Inayat Khan, a mystic in the Eastern philosophy, says that now, if I do anything, it is to tune souls instead of instruments, to harmonize people instead of laws. If there is anything in my philosophy, it is the law of harmony. That one must put oneself in harmony with oneself and with others. And Chair, that harmony of life and the path of life that we are in, it is an inevitable end where the chairperson of National House of Traditional Leaders, much as that is true, we hope that his struggles, DG, together with the committee, will then solidify our relationship to resolve some of the issues that he was talking about pertaining to the department taking seriously the issues of traditional leaders. As we know that some of the traditional leaders here in Mpumalanga, from Kwamhlanga to Bothaville province, do not get their stipends and so forth. And we hope and some disputes that at this point, the minister, as the traditional and Khoi son act is putting it, that the minister, once the province fails, he must then intervene. We hope that it consolidates, it also binds us together, as we were binded before, to actually work together to champion these challenges of our people. May you please send these words from the EFF to the family. Thank you.
Okay. Let us go to the next call. Oh, another group, do you ever want to say something along the two of you? Okay, you're ready. I know I'm taking your bed.
No, it's fine, Chair. Let me also take this opportunity to welcome the preparations that have just been presented by the DG. And on the side of the committee, I'm also in support of what Honorable Khalid has just said, that we are really saddened by the death of the Inkosi, because we worked with him and we know that he was passionate about the communities that he served, and he was passionate about the interests of the traditional leaders. And it is also our plea in line with what the Honorable Kaza has just said, that we hope that as a way of honoring his funeral and his death, the department will be able to address the issues that he was raising all along regarding the challenges of traditional leaders and traditional communities. And to the family, we also want to thank the family for allowing him to serve the communities, for allowing him to be a father of the fatherless, and also to be a leader in all areas of his deployment. And as the committee, we also wish that the family can work very well tomorrow during the funeral, and also we send our sincere condolences to the family and the members of the traditional leadership family. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you. Then I'll allow Honorable Cornelius, then followed by Honorable. Please. I read the apology of your leader, ne? And maybe you will start, Honorable Speech. Honorable Cornelius will be the next one to say something.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are having terrible weather here. I'm traveling this side, so I'm not going to show my face. Is that in order with you, Chair?
Yes, it's fine. Long as we can hear you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would also just like to take the opportunity to convey our condolences and the passing of a great individual. Sometimes, you know, if the people we love are taken from us, it's a very... sometimes unbearable, but we can only, you know, allow that person to live on remembering, you know, in our case, the leadership that he has shown. So please accept our sincere and deepest condolences, and we really hope that the family and loved ones of Nkosi can find peace and comfort in the Lord during this time. And that we wish them all the strength during this very difficult time, and best wishes for all the arrangements for the funeral. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Okay. Much appreciated. Honorable Kulivan. Next week, Honorable Sullivan.
Well, Chair, I just quickly walked away from my device.
Apologies.
Sorry, Chair. If you can repeat the question, Chair.
No, we are saying if participants in the committee, we need to have a message of condolences that the DG must take along to the National House and the colleagues and the family. So the other parties have done that. You, having also had an experience of working with him in this committee, and you all know that, except the last meeting because it was still disclosed, there's no single meeting that we missed. And then on our part, we've seen how he has displayed wisdom and cooperation when dealing with our committee and the role which he was playing in strengthening the role of traditional leaders. So we thought maybe as a party represented in this committee, we could have voice. It's only a very well meeting. The other committee has said something.
Thank you, Chairperson, and again my apologies, I had to take a call. But Chairperson, I want to contribute and voice our condolences to the family, and that we are keeping him in our prayers, and we ask that God will take them in their hands and comfort them. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so that's how we need to say. We are conveying our heartfelt condolences to the National House and his colleagues. And as we all know, he has been a very active leader. And as the colleagues have said, he has managed to strive to transform the culture of the institution of the traditional leadership. We know that the programs that they introduced, the ones dealing with agrarian revolution, gender-based violence, and the issue around land rights. We shall solely miss him, but to the colleagues, yourself, the department, DG, and the collective, just kindly accept our heartfelt condolences, be comforted, and what is left is Honorable Fraser and Honorable Mr. including the other colleagues, to say what is left for us to honor his legacy and carry forth the good work that he has done. And he will forever remain in our hearts. We are going to solely miss his leadership. May his soul rest in eternity. Thank you so much, colleagues. That brings us to the end of our meeting for the day. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. That's so
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.